This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
From North, South, East, and West, North America, Japan, and back again, this is your home for modern-day wrestling. With the occasional trip back in time, it's Place to Be Nation's main event. Now let's head into Studio B with your host, Scott Criscolo, and the godfather, Nate Milton.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, here, there, everywhere, and this weekend we are in Chi-Town. Welcome to your home for everything modern-day wrestling, Place to Be Nation's main event. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. It is a busy weekend, and for once, at least for the first time in a while, we will be AEW-free this weekend, because they're not doing nothing. And they had a pretty decent Dynamite this week. But the Flamethrower gets our full attention this weekend, because a lot of happenings in Chi-Town, the city of Chicago. Besides CM Punk making his appearance on Backstage, we have, of course, the big weekend, Saturday night and Sunday night. But let me bring in my co-host. He's the co-host of the Kings of Sport and a myriad of other exceptional podcasts. And he is my inspiration for a sequel to one of the greatest movies of the 80s. I'll get to that in a moment. This is, by the way, episode 138. The Godfather, Nate Milton.
What is going on, Scotty? And I'm glad that you brought up the number 38, because this show could go one of two ways. And it reminds me of a player that had a lot of promise, that had a lot of potential. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, he ended up being Kwame Brown. And so I'm hoping that this is not a Kwame Brown episode this week, you know, given that the conscience is unavailable. But I'm happy with the gentleman that you have brought into the studio this week to replace our beloved Steve Willie.
Yes, you are quite right. So is 38 Kwame Brown?
Was that, yes, Kwame Brown with the Pistons. So that was towards the tail end of the Kwame Brown experience.
Oh my God! Well, because Kwame Brown was on the Lakers. And I don't think he was 38 with the Lakers. He was probably zero, because that's what he did for the Lakers. So I know one guy.
One of Jordan's biggest mistakes.
Yep. Yes. there is a number 38 that one of our guests tonight I know is a fairly decent fan of, I believe. Brother Nate mentioned, for those that listened, and we apologize and we appreciate everyone's patience, episode 137 was a little shaky technical wise. Why? Well, you know, we here at Place to Be Nation incessantly rip the southern internet of some of our favorites, like Mrs. Jennifer Smith and Chad Campbell, Greg Phillips, and everybody else that lives south of the MDL. But let me tell you something. You go north, and sometimes it ain't much better. And I call it Arctic Internet. And that is what our good dear friend Steve Willie has to deal with this week. He is, guys, it's like he's like Little House on the Prairie. It's like Walnut Grove, where Steve Willie is. He doesn't even have like regular. I don't even think he has anything plugged in right now. So sadly, Steve could not join us this week. But I'm looking forward to talking to him back in 2 weeks for 139, because Steve Saturday night will be at NXT TakeOver with the children. So we're kind of pumped about that. So he'll give us he'll be back in 2 weeks, and he'll give us his live perspective of NXT TakeOver War Games, which, of course, we'll talk about tonight. And then, of course, Sunday, the bottom of the big four, if you will, Survivor Series. Yes, Brother Nate, we do not have Steve. But before I talk about my awesome sequel, let me bring in our two exceptional guests joining us. One of them, which I cannot believe, is actually making his main event debut after God knows how long. He has finally arrived. He is my bandmate on the exceptional podcast known as Jenny and the Gems. He's the bass player. We've kind of established this. Jenny, of course, the lead singer. She's our Pat Benatar, our Chrissy Hynde, our Shirley Manson, our Gwen Stefani. Who else? anybody else of that ilk. Who else can I think of? I'll think of others. Anyway, I'm kind of the lead guitarist because this guy looks like a bass player. I think so. And, of course, Drew Wardlaw is our drummer because he's quiet and dangerous. I am talking about the man, the myth, the legend, making his debut on the main event, Mr. Matt Souza. Souza!
Yes,
welcome
sir.
To Studio B, brother.
Thank you for having me. And I got to tell you, I'm glad I'm finally doing a podcast with you where I don't have to talk about a goddamn Al Perez match.
Yeah, no fucking shit. Or ugly hillbilly women in the front row, you know, freaking flicking the beat at a Rock and Roll Express. So, you know, thank fucking God for that. Anyway, of course, by the way, Matt is also, and you'll see it tomorrow on PlaceToBeNation.com. He is one of the authors and creators of the weekend playlist.
Yes,
so
sir.
That's very exciting. You'll have a new playlist up today, actually. If you're listening to this on the day it was posted, Friday. So you'll have the playlist up today on PlaceToBeNation.com. Suze, always a pleasure, brother. Good to have you here in the house. Joining us this evening is a guy who has been on Main Event in the past. He's popping his Godfather cherry tonight because he has not been on with Brother Nate. But he was on Main Event a while ago. He is a tremendous guy. He is my cohort every Wednesday at 4 o'clock on PlaceToBeNation.com, known as the Campus Hot Takes. Him and I will be paying very close attention to things in the Horseshoe in Columbus Saturday, because that's probably the biggest game of the weekend, because everybody else, like LSU and Clemson, well, Clemson's off. LSU's playing Arkansas, and as this guy will tell you, they suck. And who the hell's – oh, George is playing
A&M.
Don't tell me. Texas A&M. Ladies and gentlemen, making his return, the Mississippi Mud Pie himself, Mr. Logan Crosland. Mud Pie, welcome back, brother.
What's up, guys? Yeah, it's cupcake week in college football, so not too much going on.
No. It's all about Chicago, brother, and professional wrestling. Logan has Southern Internet, but as you can tell, it sounds pretty good. It sounds better than Steve Willie's, that's for sure.
It can be tragic. It can be tragic, so I can attest to that.
Anyway, Logan, man, always a pleasure. But check, we'll talk about more about the column at the beginning of the B block, but Logan's awesome. Gentlemen, all right, now Steve, listen, see, I'm pretending he's here. Brother Nate, I've been thinking about this all week, and I wanted to make sure that Logan and the Sioux heard this. I have a great sequel for an excellent 80s movie that I think you would be a great star in. I think you would be a tremendous star of Dirty Dancing. Well, I guess three, because there was two, right? Didn't they do a salsa one that was fucking garbage?
Havana Nights.
I don't care about that. We're gonna do Dirty Dancing 3, Norfolk Nights, or wherever you were, because I want to write out the line, "Nobody puts Nate with the dishes." Gotta listen to Talkin' Pop. That joke.
Yes. So many great stories from Mean Gene eating a hot dog to the night I got fired from Bonefish Grill.
Fucking bones. Yeah, it's because the Lucha Brothers left you hanging. No, I'm only kidding. That's another story that I don't want to get into. Thanks to Cornette, you ruined my fucking monologue. Dickhead. I got a question, though. What if I made an Ethiopians joke like South Park? You know what? Matt and Trey never got booted. That's because he picked the wrong food. We'll talk about that.
Yes, yes.
Seriously, if he had said something like Taco Bell, well, that might have been worse. who knows? Whatever. I'm just curious to see who the new play-by-play guy, color guy will be is for power. Anyway, we could allude to that in a minute. But anyway, we'll talk more about it in the during the break. But the last talk and pop over on the Jenny position was a tremendous show. Nate, you guys are fantastic. I swear to God. At one point, and Suze, I know you listen to it. Logan, I'm not sure if you have, but at one point they're talking about, you guys are talking about like sleep patterns and stuff. And, you know, sleeping late, getting up early, that kind of thing, crazy work schedules and such. And I'm sitting there and I'm listening. I'm going, you know what? If anybody else was the guest on Talkin' Pop and they were talking about getting up and going to bed, Jenny would have shut that fucker down and we would have started doing plugs. But I'm like, it's fucking Brother Nate. Nate, you could literally read the phone book. You could read Graham's History of WWE match listings, and it would get 2,000 clicks. That's the greatness that is Nate Milton. So
thank you, brother Scott. I often tell people I am the Cal Hubbard of podcasting, because that's the only other, that's the only damn 38 I could think of, and I didn't even think of it. I had to look it up. Like, you know, when you're looking at NFL players that are in like sepia tone pictures, you're grasping at straws.
Sepia tone. Brian Westbrook. Oh no, he was 36. I can't think of any 38s.
Yeah, there's not a lot of good 38s.
Well, not really. I know one good 38, Mr. Souza. I know one 38, Mr. Souza. Old Bloody Sock himself.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right. Kurt Schilling, that lying fuck. Was it John Marzano or was it Rocco Ball? Or was it Mirabelli that put ketchup in his fucking laundry or whatever the hell?
That bullshit story was.
Anyway. Logan, any like good college 38s? I don't think so.
Not that I can think of, not off the top of my head.
Nate, who's 38 on your high school team? We're on a roll with this.
let's see, 38. That would have been Marcus Lee, our backup running back / quarterback. The kids called him Dink. You know, he was a dual threat. A dual threat quarterback, as they say. You know, he was better with the run than he was with the pass, Scotty. But in a pinch, Dink could win you some games.
All right, so that's it. That's the next Place to Be Nation shirt. Guys, we're already going to do a Place to Be Nation t-shirt with Nate's number and the delicious purple and gold of his high school. Now we're going to get a shirt that says Dink. And we're praying that it's not a midget wearing a green wig. thank God we can exercise that demon. All right. Gentlemen, we have a hell of a busy weekend, and we are in Chicago.
CM Punk.
Yeah, well, you know what's sad, Logan, is that for once, that chant actually might mean something. But in any event, we've got we got a big weekend ahead. Of course, Saturday night.
I don't want to offend the listeners. I don't want main event to get canceled by maybe some listeners that feel offended. But can we just put a moratorium on Chi-Town for a while?
Like, sure.
Great town, but I'm tired of wrestling shows going to Chicago. Like, how many have we had just this year alone? Two or three major shows in Chicago?
I know we had, obviously this weekend, of course, All Out was there.
Yep. You had the Impact, Bound for Glory was there.
And AEW's there next week, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Their big Dynamite is there next week. So yeah, let's relax on Chicago for a bit, people. There's other places you can go see in Illinois, like Peoria. Peoria's nice this time of year.
Champaign, Illinois.
Yes.
Go Fighting Illini.
Yeah, go see Lovey Smith and his velvety beard.
That's right, and his velvety beard who knocked off Wisconsin.
His velvety contract.
Yeah, that too. So Nate, Steve Willie somehow got internet. I think he's like hiding in someone's backyard, probably Andrew Reich's, and he got a little internet. So he added Kurt Schilling, of course, garbage person. I like how he said that. Slightly better person, only slightly better. Carlos Zambrano.
Oh Jesus!
How about that tag?
Yeah.
How about that? Two fucking nut jobs. This is a great one. Only Steve could go with this one. Hall of Fame Green Bay Packer quarterback Arnie Herber. Yes. Wow. Because Brett Favre. Ha! Bart Starr. Who? No. Arnie Herber.
That might be the whitest name I've ever heard.
Next to Curly Lambeau.
another sepia toned legend.
That sounds like a masked guy in fucking AAA. Dr. Wagner Jr. and sepia tone. He probably had a sepia tone colored mask, too.
The problem with sepia tone is he never did color.
Oh, God.
You deserve to be on that.
You need to be on that prep line, damn it. I'll go get you on that prep line. Anyway, I agree with you, Nate, that we need to get out of Chicago. We need to go to other places. So we got a big weekend, and here in the A block, we will talk about Saturday evening, and then we'll take a break. When we come back at the B block, we will talk about, of course, Sunday evening. Now, this question, before we dive into the matches Saturday night, of course we're talking about NXT TakeOver War Games. This question I'm about to ask more pertains to Sunday night, but I guess it could fit in both. Right now, and obviously a lot of the chatter in the Wednesday night wars or the whatever the territory wars or whatever the hell it is that WWE is not working well with the creative aspect of their company. Not necessarily the matches or the superstars themselves, but what to do with them other than stick them in a ring and let them fight. This weekend is the perfect example of that. Everybody thinks that I'm pro WWE and I hate AEW. I don't hate AEW. I hate their fans, but I don't hate them. But I do think that WWE needs to be called out a little bit this weekend, and maybe something delivers on Sunday night or tomorrow night, Saturday night. But I'll start with you, Suze. Where are we going tonight, this weekend? Like, what are we looking for? Great matches is one thing, and no one has ever said that WWE can't put on great matches. They have an amazing roster. But what are we waiting for this weekend? What is the end game, no pun intended, of this weekend? Like, when we finish up Sunday night, and Brother Nate, we do the exceptional chain reaction wrap-up show, or reaction show Sunday night. What are we talking about, do you think, Suze? What are we supposed to be holding the bag with at the end of the night, either tomorrow night, either Saturday night, Sunday night, or both?
Yeah, I mean, it's a overall problem with the brand supremacy stuff is that it's pretty much meaningless when you get down to it. And I mean, they tried to add a little bit of sizzle to it by putting NXT in it this year, but I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't really mean anything.
Mm. Yeah, what do you think, Logan?
I was going to hop in line, you know, because I'm wearing my SmackDown baby blue T-shirt with matching ball cap. I like that they expanded the merchandise this year. Now we've got snapbacks for each person.
I want one of those swank snapbacks for sure.
What is it, to hide their faces when they sneak in the building?
Yeah. you brought up Endgame. Like, isn't that the Marvel disguise, like a baseball cap and some sunglasses?
Yes, that is true. Yes. Is that Steve Rogers from Tough Enough?
That's Steve Rogers. He doesn't work here.
He's on the other side.
Oh man.
But I think that one of the issues, you talk about the storytelling, and I would say NXT for the most part has done a really strong job telling stories. Mm-hmm. The problem is, I think when you mix in NXT being involved in a Survivor Series, which on paper is a good idea, in execution it makes everything kind of convoluted and muddy.
Right. Yep.
Because you're having to serve two masters. Like, you got to promote this TakeOver show, which is basically based around War Games and these alliances within the company. But then you also have to focus on Survivor Series, where some of the people that are fighting have to be on the same side in the lead up to Survivor Series, because now it's the larger brand of NXT versus Raw and SmackDown. And so I think there was a way, maybe if the two shows weren't so close together, that both stories could have been told well. But because they're so jam-packed right next to each other, Logan, I think that it's been a mess. Like, it's been entertaining. It's been exciting to see some of these Raw guys or SmackDown guys pop up on NXT and vice versa. But if you kind of take a step back and look at the narrative that they're trying to tell on TV, it gets a little confusing.
Yeah, I think this is one of the big four where they kind of could have maybe taken out the TakeOver, just because, like you said, I mean, you gotta look at it like they're going to be opponents on Saturday, and you just got to take out the, you know, realism of it, and they're going to be partners on Sunday. So, I mean, it's just a little bit convoluted, so I agree.
Yeah, I mean, we know we're going to be in for some awesome matches, particularly mm-hmm. Saturday night. And, I mean, Sunday's not going to suck. I mean, there's a couple of gems I'm looking forward to, no pun intended, Suze. But the question is, when we get up Monday morning and whatever the hell's on 8 o'clock Monday night on USA, what are we anticipating? You know what I mean? That's the interesting thing. And maybe, just maybe, that's what we as fans want now. Maybe we want to go in cold and not have it be ridiculously transparent or predictable. We got some title matches on Sunday night that seem, for the most part, predictable. But we'll get to those in a little bit.
What are they fighting for, though, Scotty? Like, what is the ultimate prize? Exactly. Like NXT? Right. Like NXT, you can kind of, you know, kind of guess that they're fighting for respect amongst the two other brands that are bigger than them. But if you're on SmackDown, right, like, what the hell are you really fighting for? I think it would have been funny, and USA would have hated it, but they should have said, between Raw and SmackDown, whoever wins gets to go to Fox for the big money. So if Raw wins, Raw takes over SmackDown's time slot, and SmackDown gets booted over to Monday nights on USA with a smaller paycheck.
Yeah, I think I heard Graves on his podcast talked about maybe like the whatever brand wins, maybe somebody from there gets the 30th spot in the Rumble, or just give it some kind of, you know, some kind of prize, so it's not just like a one night thing and then they go back to just hating each other and, you know, feuding the next night, you know, and it's all pointless, you know.
Yeah, there needs to be some kind of cash in here for the brands, because I can't fathom what, you know, what we're looking at on Monday, and what, you know, are we just going to be entertained and then we move on? I was having a chat with a coworker of mine today. Hi, Tiff. She listens to the show. And we had a pretty good conversation about I asked her this question, and she said, and this is sad for us old-time fans who love the Big Four, that this is what has become of the irrelevance of Survivor Series. Mm-hmm. Like, do these team matches mean anything to us anymore? Sure, they used to be fun when we could watch like 88 or 89. Used to be a stepping stone pre-Rumble, when the Rumble didn't mean what it means now. Like, Survivor Series was the show that got things started for WrestleMania, because in the 80s into maybe, again, up to 92, obviously, the Rumble didn't have that cachet as much as it does now. So Survivor Series actually had a little bit more teeth to it because it was an older show. It was the second oldest show after WrestleMania. Now, with the Rumble being what it is, and starting probably in the Attitude Era, Survivor Series doesn't have what the term of the pay-per-view, Survivor Series, actually means. So now we're back to teams, but we our minds have now been, I don't say trained, but our minds have been kind of sculpted to think that like team stuff is crap. And we just want title matches and figure out what the hell's going on and brawls and, you know, that kind of thing. So if they can come up with something to sculpt, so when we get up Monday morning, we're like, that was pretty good. It wasn't just entertaining, but it was something to pull the ripcord on to get us from here to wherever the hell TLC is, and go from there. So I am curious as well where we're going to be headed after Sunday.
Because like the next day that they're just going to forget everything that happened at the pay per view. That's just the way this brand supremacy stuff goes.
Well, and to Tiff's point, Scotty, I think what made those matches work back in the day is not only did you have like these oversized characters, but you also had like these cool matchups and little mini stables for them that made sense tangentially, but they're really kind of just thrown together, and they were facing off against another team that was similar in its construction. But with this, it's not like you've got the OC and the Revival teaming up against the New Day, Ricochet, and Humberto Carrillo. Like that would be something more in line with the old school Survivor Series, but
right,
giving it the weight of brand supremacy, which is kind of something that on TV, it supposedly means everything, but in reality, it means nothing. Like, I think making these matches more important than they need to be is one of the downfalls of Survivor Series right now.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And a lot of people have said that Money in the Bank is now the fourth, the big four, and Survivor Series has fallen into the secondaries. I'm just been a fan too long, like we all have. I just can't do that. Survivor Series will always be a big four for me. Is it fourth? It's like the PGA Championship or the Australian Open, you know. But it is still a big four.
It's Ringo Starr. Like, yeah, Ringo's not the best, but he's still a beast.
Exactly. 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 You know what I'm saying? It's so. Anyway. All right. Let's dive in. Let's start with the two non-War Games matches first. We'll start off with Matt Riddle taking on Finn Balor. I think we know on paper this match is going to, as one of our esteemed colleagues would say, fuck. But where are we going with it? Here's a perfect example. Finn keeps doing the finger guns. Okay. Where are we going with this? Yes, is this match gonna fuck? Damn right it is. But what about it? What do you think, Suze?
I mean, it's interesting on paper, and I think. You know, Balor should probably win just because he's back in NXT and they want to build him up. They're kind of in a corner here because neither guy really should be losing. Mm-hmm. Balor shouldn't be losing because he just showed up back in NXT, and Riddle shouldn't be losing because you're trying to build him up allegedly as the next big guy next to Ciampa in NXT. Right. So it's kind of a tough situation. Maybe there's a double DQ or no contest or something. But it's tough. I just can't. I don't think either one of these guys should be losing, to be perfectly honest.
I know. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. I would be leaning more. It depends. See, for me, Suze, and I'm curious you guys too. I'm curious if Finn winning leads to something, or if he's just there to put over these younger NXT guys. What do you think, Brother Nate? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, what is the payoff for one of these guys winning? You know what I mean?
I think this is the match that is the expendable match. Like, it's going to be great for the time they give it, but again, if brand supremacy is what this weekend is about, I think this is the match where you're going to see involvement from the Raw and SmackDown sides. That way we don't have to pin one of these guys.
Interesting.
Yeah, what do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I definitely see this one ending in a no contest kind of situation. I think somebody in the chat said that earlier today, and I kind of, once I read that, I kind of was like, yeah, that's probably be the smart way to go. I mean, it is going to be an awesome match, and I think they're going to beat the shit out of each other. But yeah, I think it's probably going to end in some kind of schmoz.
It's a good point. And it may suck for the crowd, but when you get painted into a corner and you don't want somebody to lose, what the fuck are you going to do? What's the point of putting them together in the first place? Because right now, WWE's philosophy is, fuck it. The fans just want to see Flippy Floppy. They don't give a shit who wins or what happens out of it. They just want to see guys throw each other around.
Yeah, this is something, Scotty, they could have, with as hot as Matt Riddle is and as good as Finn Balor is, they could have built this up for the takeover before WrestleMania.
Oh, easily.
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep. I agree. And then you could have built it to the next takeover in June, because I think that's a new regular thing now. I wish it's always in Bridgeport. That would be great. And on my birthday, but that wouldn't happen because my birthday wouldn't be on a Saturday every year. So, which it was this past year. So, I like that idea too. I can't pick a winner. I agree with you guys. I think this thing's going to end in a shit show. I don't think there's any way around it. If there's a winner, if a gun was to my head, I'm going to say Finn. Because right now, Matt Riddle could probably eat some losses and not be the end of the world.
Yeah.
So I think Finn probably wins if it's leading to something. Otherwise, what's the point of turning him heel? You know what I mean?
I do think there is one instance where Matt Riddle would win this match, but we'll get to it later.
Okay. The other non-War Games match is a triple threat, number one contenders match. The winner will face Adam Cole the next night at Survivor Series. And it is between Pete Dunne, Killian Dane, and Damian Priest. I'm partially up in the air on this. I'm leaning towards the Bruiserweight, himself. Because I think him and Cole could have a great match. I think Cole could have a great match with all three of them. What do you think, Brother Nate? I'm kind of leaning towards Dunn here.
Yeah, I'd go Dunn as my pick. I think he offers probably the best in-ring opponent for Cole. Not that the other two would be terrible, but I think Dunn, you know, being the former NXT UK champ, is also probably the guy with the most visibility on a show in Survivor Series where you might not have the most educated NXT fans watching. And so he makes sense as the guy that, like, okay, I've seen this guy before. I may not know all about him, but I know the name Pete Dunne, and so I can make that step. Whereas with a guy like Killian Dane, or especially Damian Priest, I don't know if the casual Raw and SmackDown viewer would make that connection yet.
Mm. What do you think, Suze?
Yeah, I like Pete Dunne to win this, and that's a good point that Nate made, because I think, you know, with a show like Survivor Series, you're going to get fans who really haven't watched NXT or just either don't have the time or just haven't watched it for whatever reason. And I think Cole and Pete Dunne is a great match to showcase basically what NXT is all about. So I like Pete Dunne to win that triple threat and then face Cole Sunday night.
What do you think, Mud Pie?
Yeah, I think Pete Dunne's pretty much the clear choice for all the reasons that the both of the fellows said before me.
Yeah. No, I think Dunne wins too. I like Dane and I like Priest, but a Pete Dunne Adam Cole match Sunday night would fuck. So
yeah, that could steal the show for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely could. Absolutely could. All right, let's get to the two War Games matches. Obviously, these are bookended because I think one's going to open and one's going to close. As for which is which, that remains to be seen, because I would not be surprised if the guys opened and the ladies closed. Mm. Would not surprise me. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But it could. Let's start with the ladies. And we have got eight unbelievable, well, seven in Candace. I'm just not a fan. Never was. She's terrible. We have Rhea Ripley, who is far from terrible. Candice LeRae, Candice Gargano, Candice not wrestling. Tegan Nox and Mia Yim against Shayna, EIEIO, Bianca Belair and Kaylee Ray. This one's going to be fun. Correct me if I'm wrong, but did they do something to decide who gets the advantage? Are they going to do the old school horseman coin flip?
Yeah, they did the ladder match.
They had the ladder match a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, Shirai and Yim had a ladder match 2 weeks ago.
That's right. That's where Yim got hit in the face.
Yeah.
That's the one where Yim got hit in the face? Okay. I'm guessing, and I think EO won, right? Okay, so
yeah, because that's when Kaylee Ray helped her, and that's why she's on the team.
That's right. Well, as usual, I mean, why don't they just give the heels? I mean, it's like so stupid. Like we didn't know any of that was going to happen anyway. Yeah. It's like so nonsensical. Horsemen are so great. How do you think this match is going to go, Logan? Like, what do you think? What stories could be told in this match before we get to like results?
I think I see the faces probably taking it, just because I think, you know, maybe Shayna has a little something that might happen the next night that might go in her favor. You know, I think they could go a bunch of different directions here. I think they're kind of heading towards Shayna and Rhea, you know, getting into, you know, a real intense feud going off of this. But, you know, they could go a bunch of different directions, I think.
I mean, there's a ton of talent in this ring, in Candace.
Oh yeah.
Suze, I just fucking can't stand her. You know what? You know what I hate about her. You know what bugged me about her. She, when we were at TakeOver Philly, when Johnny fought Andrade for the NXT title, and Candace was brawling with
Vega.
Yeah, Vega. We saw them brawling, and then you know what she did? She high-fived her before they got through the fucking curtain. We all saw it. She left the curtain open and high-fived her, and then they walked. They didn't even brawl through the curtain. They stopped, high-fived, and then went through the curtain. My God, you're an idiot. Johnny should have dumped her right there. Good Lord. Anyway. That's why I can't stand her, because she's fucking stupid. That's why. Suze, what do you think? What do you think? We'll see here. What anything stand out for you that could not necessarily winners or losers? We'll get to that in a minute. But who could shine in this match? Who will look good come the end of the evening?
I think this match is going to be the Rhea Ripley show to build her up for a match with Shayna at some point for the title.
Hmm.
I think Rhea's just going to, you know, mow through everybody when she, you know, maybe they save her for last and then she just destroys everybody.
I like that idea because I love Rhea. Where does Io, E-I-E-I-O, play in all of this, Brother Nate?
Well, first of all, Scott, allow me to flip the Stephen A. Smith switch and address a previous point that you made.
Uh-huh.
Because, Scott, how dare you besmirch the name of Candice LeRae? That is S-9, S-10, S-11. Candice LeRae was just being a good teammate, Scott. But no, you got to besmirch the name of Candice LeRae. That's not going to end well for you, Scott Capola. The disrespect, the blasphemy that you have put on Candice LeRae's name.
Where's Stu Gotts when you need him?
I'm going to piggyback off of Logan's point on Ripley, because I think your final three, it's going to come down. Well, damn, I'm thinking this is elimination. Yeah, it is elimination, isn't it?
No.
I forget how the WWE war games work.
Yeah.
No,
I don't either.
It's
I don't
just everybody it gets in its first pinfall.
Yeah.
Okay, never mind. Yeah, in my mind I was thinking that it was elimination. But okay. So yeah, I think everybody's gonna get a spot to shine, even Candice LeRae. I think Rhea's gonna get a lot of focus in the match, as well as Io. Because I think Io is one of these characters that pops off the screen. And speaking of pop, no pun intended, mm-hmm. The NXT they opened a couple weeks ago with Poppy doing a theme song. Like, that was visually something different that the WWE doesn't do often, and they should do more of, especially on NXT, because it draws your eye to the screen. And she's been doing a great job in this heel character. So I think it's going to be a fun match. It's going to be probably one of the better matches on the card. But I do see Shayna winning, because, like Logan mentioned, Shayna's got something big the next night. I think they're going to use these two nights to give Shayna a ton of momentum. Her team wins the war games, and then, you know, we'll get to what happens on Sunday night, Scotty.
Right, yeah. All right, so let's go around the horn. So, Nate, you like Team Shayna?
Yes.
You do? Okay. Suze, you like Team Ripley?
I like Team Ripley, and I like Ripley pinning Shayna to win the match.
So you kind of like Goldberg, SummerSlam 03, except he actually wins everything.
Right.
we don't get fat bike shorts at the end. Yes. See, that's me saying that. Okay. That's me saying that.
Don't get me started on that match, please.
I know. Fat bike shorts. Ha ha. I get it. Logan, what do you think?
I'm going to Team Ripley, because I think Shayna has something bigger the night after.
Okay, so Nate, so you both think that they that she's due for something big Sunday night, but the wins and losses, but the result, the different result determines that. That's interesting. Nate thinks she wins leading to Sunday, and Logan thinks she loses leading to Sunday. Interesting. That's interesting. Okay. Okay. You know, Suze, they had to pop the crowd in Hershey the next month, all right? Will you get over it? all right, it's all that chocolate, okay?
All 10 of them in the crowd.
Come on, it was Kane's first maskless match, okay?
Oh, yeah, well. That'll put butts.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, exactly. All right. And then finally, our main event, or our opener, again, with Triple H, who knows? We have the Undisputed Era, who, what is this, their third straight year of being a team. I think it's their third straight year. Right? Is it their third straight year of being a team?
Yeah, they've been in all three.
Yeah, they've got the first year they defeated. Well, ironically, it was a three-way War Games match between Cole, Fish, and O'Reilly against the Authors of Pain and Roddy and Sanity.
Mm.
That was 2017. 2018, last year, they lost with Roddy to Pete Dunne, Ricochet, and the War Raiders. So they're 1-1 as we head to Saturday night. So it is Cole, Fish, O'Reilly, and Roddy. So all of your champions in NXT taking on the former NXT champion, Tommaso Ciampa, Keith Lee, Dominic Djokovic? I guess it's Djokovic. Not Djokovic like the tennis player. Djokovic. And our favorite wrestler. Is it? Okay. I like Djokovic better. But then again, I also like Kazuchika, and everybody makes fun of me, even though it sounds better. And my favorite wrestler in multi-man tag matches, TBA.
Mm.
Everybody's, and it's not Randy Savage, because the shadow of every TBA for everything between 97 and 2000 was always Randy Savage. Logan, number one, who's the TBA? And number two, how do you see this match going?
I think it's going to be Velveteen Dream, and I think the Undisputed Era will go 2-1 in War Games matches.
Okay. Suze, who's the TBA? Who wins?
So this is where my Matt Riddle theory comes in, because I think there's a chance that Matt Riddle is the TBA, and I think there's a chance he's pulling double duty Saturday night.
Okay.
And I think if he's going to be in War Games, then he'll beat Finn Balor. But if it's not Riddle, then I think it's Velveteen Dream. And I like...
I'm guessing his injury's not as bad as anybody else's, I suppose. Because that's not an uncommon theory. What did he hurt? Why am I blanking?
I thought it was his back, wasn't it?
Maybe it was his back.
Yeah, sure. Undisputed Era took him out backstage 1 week, but I don't know if they ever disclosed really what it was.
Okay.
Right. And I like Team Ciampa to win this very face heavy War Games matches.
Yes. Yes. Brother Nate, break the tie.
Well, first of all, I think I would love it to be Dream. I don't think it's going to be Dream. I think it will be Riddle, because that's what they were teasing before they went to the Balor Riddle solo match. Right. That Riddle was going to be on the team. So I think they go back to that. Given my prediction that the singles match ends in a schmoz. Even though the real answer, the best answer would be the man that has been held down by the NXT powers that be, the man that has worked so hard for so long, and he needs a shot, Tino Sabatelli. That would be the man that could swing the balance of power in Team Ciampa's favor.
I got a better one. I think that the TBA will be the returning, defending, conquering hero of NXT, Bull Dempsey.
Oh, Jesus.
Except this time, it'll be the jalapeno Doritos shoved in his tights, damn it.
Spicy.
I love the bullpen. Spicy. I love bullpen. What an awesome Matt Rotella-esque character. I have said all along, I know everyone said it was a red herring. I still believe it could be Kevin Owens.
Mm.
Because every time we think it's too much of a red herring, it actually isn't, and it's actually the guy. The only thing I see, though, is that I could easily see him showing up Saturday night. I don't know what he's involved in Sunday. And then Monday, he starts getting his balls broken by Raw, and that's the beginning of the build to him winning the Rumble and going to Tampa to face Brock. Which I think would be fucking amazing. Just saying. But again, what is the end game of anybody on this in this NXT War Games match winning? Because I don't think we have NXT guys slated yet for the next night. At least I don't think we do. looking at Wiki, let's see. Team Raw, Team SmackDown. Yeah, Team NXT. Oh, that's the women's.
I think all of them are TBA, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, none of them are announced.
Yeah, so we don't even know what the hell's going on. So, do we boo one night, cheer the next? Mm. Well, we know for a fact that Cole will not be in the tag, will not be in that match, because he'll be defending the belt against either Dunn, Dane, or Priest. So, I don't know. I kept firing out names today in our chat because I was trying to think of past NXT champions. So I was starting to go all the way back. It's not going to be Seth because that'll just drag the thing down, or the emotion down. Not the match, because I mean, we like Seth's a good wrestler. We all know that. But right now he's kind of pseudo cooked. I threw one out there, Nate. And I know you'd like it. You'd like it a lot. Put down the pancakes because Big E be back.
Mmm.
Former NXT champion. True.
That'd be cool to see Big E and Keith Lee doing some double team spots.
Oh, big power moves? Fuck yeah. Oh, that would be awesome. Oh, that'd be awesome. I doubt that's going to happen. But I was just thinking of past Rude. That would be cool. But no, Rude is firmly entrenched in the SmackDown camp. So,
I almost wonder if the War Games matches might be like quasi qualifiers, and then the Ciampa team wins and they get to be in the men's match, and then the face team for the women win and they get to be in that Survivor Series match, because Shane is going to be in the women's match. So,
I think that is an outstanding theory.
Mm-hmm.
MMP. I think that's an outstanding theory. I like that a lot.
They may not announce it per se, but like maybe that's how they work it, you know?
Hmm. Yeah, I kind of like the cut of your jive there. That's entirely possible. That is entirely possible. Do we see anything crazy happen? I'm just going to say it because I just feel like saying it. What is the percentage? Is there any – let's put it this way. Is the percentage above zero that when the TBA guy is ready to be announced, we hear Living Color? I got to ask it. It's sitting out there hanging in the fucking wind. Probably not, right?
No, NXT can't afford that, dude.
It's like the littlest percentage point above zero that you can get, whatever that is.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah,
like I won't say there's no chance, but there's like,
no chance. That's and I don't think he shows up to anything on Sunday. I think Saturday, because I think I think Punk respects the NXT brand. I think he would thrive there, either in ring. As an announcer, I think that'd be pretty cool.
But yeah, I think if he's ever going to show up again, I think they advertise that well in advance.
Yeah. I mean, even though there's going to be a fuck ton of eyes Saturday night, we know that.
Right.
Yeah, Punk would have to be announced. That's not – that'd be a – I mean, as much as – you know how we love surprises. That's one there where you want to get people's – you want to get fresh people's $10 in your pocket, although it is free month.
Right.
All right. So there we go. NXT TakeOver War Games. And, of course, Sunday morning, as you prepare for your Survivor Series day, go to PlaceMeNation.com. There will be a full-blown main event special – NXT TakeOver Reaction Show with myself, Brother Nate, Mr. Tim Capel, and hopefully we'll walk in the door our Scream Queen herself, Jennifer Smith. So hopefully. We tried to get her for full gear. That did not work. We'll try for round two. So check PlaceMeNation.com Sunday morning, and you will see, or on any of our podcast feeds, the PlaceMeNation Wrestling feed, and you will see the main event exclusive NXT TakeOver War Games Reaction Show with myself, Nate, Tim Capel, and Jennifer Smith. So, all right, let's take a break here on Main Event, and we will go to Sunday night, where things are even more up in the air. It is Survivor Series. We actually have some title matches. We got some three-ways. We got some five-on-fives. We got all sorts of combinations that everybody would enjoy. I am Scott. That is Nate. No, Steve, we do miss you. And he will be there again Saturday night in Chicago with the children. So when we're back in 2 weeks in episode 139, Steve hopefully has internet like the rest of the Western world. And he can let us know his experience. But we do have Matt Souza and Logan Crosland tonight, who have both been awesome so far. When we return, we will talk Survivor Series. After the break.
Consideration paid for by the following.
Place Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. The PlaceNation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation Pop Feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content, offering tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all of these current shows, plus archives of our previous podcasts over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to our feeds on iTunes. And while there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others available at PlaceMeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects and more. Be sure to support our site by using www.placemation.com/Amazon while doing your online shopping. And be sure to join us at our forum at bigelow34.proboards.com for all sorts of wrestling, sports, and pop culture discussion each and every day, where you can make your voice heard. We also want to thank our friends at Bonehead's Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr as well. PlaceMeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Back on Place to Be Nation's main event, episode number 138. So, you know, we couldn't leave you with less. We had to give you Mickey Moore from the 03 Atlanta Hawks, because that's the best you get with this terrible garbage number. You get role players and Curt Schilling. And dead sepia tone NFL Hall of Famers.
Sepia tone. The next Lucha in AEW. Sepia tone. Oh, God. It's been a pleasure so far. Myself, of course, Brother Nate, and our special guests tonight to cover for Steve Willey, Mr. Matt Souza, and Mr. Logan Crosland. Brother Nate, your Kings of Sport Patreon feed is red hot and gets hotter every week. Tell us about it.
I mean, it is, Scott. I can't believe what's going on at the Kings of Sport Patreon, patreon.com/the Kings of Sport. Marcus Vandenberg is back from paternity leave, so we have a couple new episodes of the Kings of Sport that are available, including one that just came out a day or so ago, where we discussed the fight in the NFL the last a week or so ago. We talked about Colin Kaepernick. We talked about Byron Allen. And maybe the biggest thing we talked about on that episode, Scotty, Disney Plus, because Mickey owns us all, and D Plus is now where the world revolves around.
Pretty much. I am 10 episodes into my first ever watching of X-Men, the animated series, and it is luscious.
Yes, and it still holds up. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, on the other hand, not so much. It's got charm, though. It's got charm and nostalgia, which is more than I can say for a cartoon I never knew existed, Scott.
Yeah.
The Silver Surfer.
I agree with you.
Which was dreadful. The Silver Surfer cartoon was terrible.
Like, by the way, if you're listening,
not an exciting comic book character, so just putting these comic book stories in motion doesn't make it any more exciting.
That is true. And if you're listening to this on the day it dropped, go to Disney Plus today, because guess what also dropped? The third episode of The Mandalorian. Definitely check that out. It's been fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. What else on the feed there, Brother Nate? What else you got?
Well, for those that were fans of the pairing of myself and Brian Mann on Keep It 2000, we did an episode of Keep It 2019 a couple weeks ago where we, you know, kind of gave a year in review, our thoughts on the state of wrestling. We gave a State of the Union address on wrestling in 2019. We talked about NXT, WWE, hit on NWA Power a little bit, and we had a lot of AEW talk as well, because that was the day of Full Gear when we recorded that show. So that's on there. Mm-hmm. We got MCU reviews. We got political shows. We've got a bunch of different things on the Kings of Sport podcast, video versions of the podcast. So, just for $5, for the cost of a cup of coffee, I'm getting into my Sally Struthers mode now. Just the cost of a cup of coffee, it can save a life. Not really, but it can put some more money in my pockets, which will allow me to buy more alcohol, which, you know, helps my life. It enhances my life. So check out the Kings of Sport Patreon, patreon.com/thekingsofsport. We got a lot of stuff already on there, but there's a lot coming up as we head towards the end of the year. Again, more Kings of Sports. We're probably going to do the best of shows here coming up pretty soon, our best of 2019 as well. We've got a new episode of the Nubian Wrestling Advocates probably coming out in the next week or so. So keep your eyes posted. And if you're not a subscriber yet, go ahead and sign up for the Kings of Sport Patreon.
Please do. It is absolutely tremendous. I have been a sponsor since the beginning, and it has been a lot of good stuff. I've listened to many things, of course, including your show, the Kings of Sport, and a lot of the other stuff as well. So please, please check it out. Other things you need to check out is the two wonderful the podcast feeds that we have here at Place to Be Nation, and our sister, one of our sister feeds, which we'll talk about as well. Let's start off with the PTBM Pop feed. The Sarcastic Four, back with the latest episode of the Marvel Age podcast, where they continue their look at roughly a third of the most significant of Marvel's output throughout the year 1972. On the newest edition of Looking Forward, Looking Back Sports Edition, Cowboy and Johnny D, looking back at the recent MLB season and looking to the current NBA season, which at the time, just obviously still getting started. Hard-traveling fanboys go off the page, look at the 1974 television movie Wonder Woman, starring Kathy Lee Crosby, WrestleMania 2 alum, and Ricardo Montalban, wishing he was WrestleMania 2 alum, Rich Corinthian leather. DC for You continues with their Green Lantern Month by taking a deep dive into the beginnings of the four Corpsmen, Hal Jordan, Guy Gardner, John Stewart, and Kyle Rayner. And still thinking when we will see a Lantern on Arrow, Mr. Milton.
Yes, yes. We may get one in the crossover, and they also just announced a series on HBO Max for the Green Lantern Corps. So that
yes,
should
they
be
did.
Interesting.
They did. That's going to be a lot of fun. Yes, indeed. This Week in the NFL hits weekly. The same guys that do Looking Forward, Looking Back, or The Cowboy and Mr. D'Amato, recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch. Of course, the week is starting while we're taping right now, guys. Down in Houston, the Texans are hosting the Colts, and the Colts are winning at the moment. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast on episode 25. They bring you The Office, season 3, episodes 22 and 23. On the newest Diamond Conversations, great show, by the way, the fifth episode features a one-on-one chat with author J. David Herman, who wrote the book Almost Yankees, The Summer of 81, and the greatest baseball team you've never heard of, which is about the 1981 Columbus Clippers, who at the time had a first baseman by the name of Don Mattingly. So I remember going to the card shop in my hometown when I was a kid, and there was an uncut sheet of the 1981 Columbus Clippers team, which I always thought was kind of cool. It was, of course, out of my price range, but it was pretty cool. Anyway, Diamond Conversations is a great show. He's had a couple of ones involving my beloved Mets, so check it out. And in a PTBM Pop special, which just dropped today, Andy Atherton, Todd Weber, and myself break down the brackets and matchups in our upcoming Greatest Sitcom of All Time tournament. Fairly awesome. Brother Nate, we were getting down to the lethal categories as well, and some of the lethaler and non-lethal, of course, shows. Yeah, that's going to be pretty awesome. And, of course, that kicks off this coming Monday, the 25th, the Greatest Sitcom of All Time brackets begin.
I'm staking my flag here, Scotty. I'm staking my flag already.
Yes, sir.
I don't know. I haven't listened to the show yet, so I don't know the brackets. But I'm staking my flag here. If
yep.
the nation chooses Friends over I Love Lucy, I might have to hang up my jersey.
Oh no, that's not happening.
Put some Trust respect me. On Ricky Ricardo's name.
I bet your ass. And, you know, Lucy got some explaining to do. And trust me, Nate, we broke it down. We came up with some exceptional reasons and some exceptional analysis on why neither Friends nor Seinfeld would win this tournament. So think about it. So please check that out. Great preview pod before you get to the brackets on Monday. Another PTM Pop special, Jason Sherman, Mr. Atherton, and Miranda Berthold break down the launch of the aforementioned Disney Plus. So check that out as well. So a lot of good stuff on the pop feed. Over on the wrestling feed, on the premiere episode of Body Press Your Luck, PTVN's first ever wrestling trivia game show, my PIC, Mr. Rosero, and Jordan Duncan welcome Ryan Everett, the guy with the worst taste in pizza ever, Neil Trauma, and my own Mississippi Mud Pie, Mr. Croslin. Did you have fun, Logan?
Oh yeah, it was a great time, but don't remind me. It was a tragedy.
so you felt like Mississippi State walking into Tuscaloosa, right? Or Baton
yep.
Rouge?
Yeah, pretty much.
If you think you have what it takes to be a main eventer on the show, reach out to us, and you may be on a future episode. Nate would probably be our Ken Jennings, but you never know. Mm. Speaking of my PIC, in the latest episode of the Place to Be podcast. He and I were joined by our always crazy and fun Jennifer Smith to review the MSG House Show from February of 1990. And let's just say that Jennifer had a tremendous analysis of Mr. Perfect. And it had nothing to do with the Perfect Plex. There was something else that was plexing and flexing. But anyway.
So she wasn't asleep on the couch at this MSG show.
Oh, no. She... Absolutely not. She kind of wished she was with Mr. Perfect's tag team partner. We're not talking about the genius. No, but anyway. Check that out. Tremendous episode. Main event, of course, is always there. On a new wrestling war zone, JR, whatever many first names he has, and Chad dive into the Raw and Nitro from February 5th, 1996. Tremendous show, guys. Suze, you, me, Mr. Wardlaw, and our fearless leader, Jenny and the Gems, explored Greensboro 1988, the Great American Bash Tour. That was a fun show. We had a
Hell
blast
of a
on
show.
That.
Hell of a show.
Nate, have you had a chance to watch that hidden gem yet?
No, not yet. It is
Logan,
definitely
you guys
in the queue.
Yeah, it was exceptional. Suze, yeah, you're going to say something.
No, I was just going to say, I think it's our best one yet.
Yeah, it really was. It really is. It was really good. And sadly, you know, we got to go by the heartbeat, the pulse of the gems, and I haven't been really thrilled with what the last couple of gems, the last couple of stuff that's gone on the Hidden Gems have been. We got to, come on, guys, get your act together.
So you're saying these gems are truly outrageous?
Exactly, yes. yes. And unfortunately, they need to pick up the pace here a little bit. Enough shows. I think, Suze, we're kind of fed up with shows that have no commentary. That's what we're doing. We need some talking.
It's a bit much.
It is a bit much. Yeah, I agree. It
means I have to focus on the whole show. That's a problem.
Yeah, I know. Yes. on our newest show on the wrestling feed, With This Ring, husband and wife Ryan and Cindy look at 5 matches and discuss where they place in Ryan's greatest WWE match list, as well as Cindy's personal list. So check that out. On the latest PTBN Extreme 3-Way Dance, JR, Jenny, and Mr. D'Amato continue their ECW adventure with the much-anticipated Hostile City Showdown. Speaking of Jenny, subscribe to her outstanding feed, The Jenny Position, the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, so you will know that you don't keep Nate with the dishes. But you wouldn't know that if you're not on The Jenny Position. Freak Out Drive-In, Telling Stories, and much, much more. So check out her awesome feed. She is tremendous, and she's done a lot of great stuff over there, as she did here, as she still does on the wrestling feed. Don't forget to check out PlaceBeNation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes, bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture, including the SmackDown on Fox report. This week in the WWE, Paulie's perspective, Jason's DVD deep dive, Ben's unpopular opinion. But don't forget about veteran columns, like every Wednesday. There's 2 great things on Wednesdays. First off, Glenn's weekly walk, the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web. And then in the afternoon at 4 o'clock, Mr. Crosland, you and I take center stage for our campus hot takes as we let you know what happened the previous week in college football and look ahead to the weekend coming up. This weekend, really the only team that's really going to be tested is number 2 Ohio State. The Buckeyes are home to take on the Nittany Lions of Penn State. LSU is playing Arkansas, who you have consistently trashed, Logan, and they fired their head coach. So that game may not end well.
Yeah, if my team can beat them by 30 points, then they're fucking terrible. So,
Clemson is off. They play South Carolina next week in their annual battle for the Palmetto State. And Georgia, as we mentioned, is home on CBS Saturday afternoon to take on Texas A&M. That should be down at Between the Hedges. Brother Nate, who's going to replace Willie Taggart at Florida State, who I thought was clearly over his fucking head and had no business coaching that team whatsoever? That's like one of the – I think Ron Simmons? I think Ron Simmons should take the head coaching job at Florida State.
It's either got to be Ron Simmons or Deion Sanders. It has to be.
Well,
just for entertainment value
kidding.
Alone.
Well, one of them, of course, we're kidding. The other is not as jokey ha-ha as you think. I mean, he said – Deion has said on his Twitter that he was being approached soft approach by the Seminoles. So who knows? That would be hilarious, though. I think they should both coach, like co-coaches, offense and defense, even though they're both on defense. Ah, never mind. Although, no, I guess Deion could coach the offense. But what a great program that suddenly got flushed down the toilet, huh?
Oof. Yeah.
I blame Jimbo Fisher more than anything else because – he had that team. I don't know why. Why, for the love of God, would you leave a program where other than Clemson, you could rule that conference?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Rule that conference, the ACC. Because let's be honest, guys. The bottom of the ACC the last couple years has been hot trash. And that's no disrespect to Clemson because I love Dabo Swinney. But the bottom of the ACC is garbage. And instead, he takes a job in College Station where he's got to play Alabama, Georgia, Auburn, Florida. Am I missing anybody? LSU. Like, why the fuck would you do that? He could have had a statue next to Bobby Bowden.
In the famous words of Vince McMahon, it's all about the money.
Yep, I was going to say in the words of Deion Sanders, must be the money.
Yeah, him
so much money. So that's the only reason he's here.
I know, so much money to win what, fucking 7 games every year. I mean, that's crazy. In any event, check out Logan's and My Hot Takes every Wednesday. They hit the website about 4 o'clock Wednesday afternoon. After the we wait till the Tuesday night rankings come out, and so barring any major upsets other than Ohio State, Penn State, and I think the Buckeyes win that game, the top four this week should probably stay the same. Notre Dame plays BC, Mr. Seuss, this week, and I think they're just I think they're just under a 3-touchdown favorite. And Notre Dame's wearing alternates, but I saw a Twitter and they didn't look any different, so I don't know. They don't do the Shamrock Series weird, goofy uniforms, I don't think, anymore. Or at least they didn't do them the last couple years. Anyway, check out Logan's and my campus hot takes. If you're doing any online shopping on Amazon, of course, we're getting into the holiday season. Be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to the site and helps out PTBN with no cost to you. You're not paying extra. We get a little taste of your total, but the total doesn't go up. You pay what you pay, and that's good. Except Amazon kicks a little bit our way to help us keep things running. So there we go. Check out our social media pages and message board, bigelow34.proboards.com, to join our GWWE pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation. Start researching your list. Ballots are open. You have until midnight, January 1st, 2020. We've had a couple of good years. The singles list. Nate, you and I did our multi-part package. We didn't do for tag teams.
Yeah.
We didn't get a chance to do for tag teams. Just too much going on this past year. But we may do the matches. My list is garbage. Have you working on yours, Seuss?
Yeah, I started putting it together, but I have no semblance of an order set.
I don't either. It's. I mean, I got to be honest. It's and this isn't to freak anybody out. Please do your lists. But it is daunting. Matches are daunting. Yeah, it's daunting. But it's a lot of fun. And I think, Brother Nate, you, me, and Steve-O in 2020, maybe we'll carve a little time on our show to talk about our own match lists. Or maybe we'll do the PTBN master list when it comes out, because that'll be a lot of fun as well.
Yeah.
So anyway, go to bigelow34.proboards.com and check out, get your ballots ready and have them in by January 1st of 2020. All right. And that's all the fun stuff. So now we go from Saturday night to Sunday night, Survivor Series from, yes, once again, Chicago. Just to put your mind at ease, Brother Nate, I believe TLC is not from from Chicago. As a matter of fact, the next pay-per-view – well, it's not really pay-per-view. The next WWE Network event is indeed Starrcade, which is on – Saturday, December 1st, from the Infinite Energy Arena in Duluth, Georgia. And, of course, who came up with the name Starrcade? The man himself. The man who gave us the gold standard. Of course, the great Dusty Rhodes. TLC, Nate, is actually at the Target Center in Minneapolis. So they go. So, no, they're not going back.
I thought you were going to say Rosemont, Illinois.
No, yes, yeah, they're going from so no match, at least I don't think there can be. No, there can't be, really, unless they add something that's not on this list, because none of these matches are pre-show quality. These are all top notch. Card subject to change, although they say that on every Wikipedia page, so I'm not going to go crazy. All right, so we have 2 5-on-5-on-5s, and then 3, quote, brand supremacy matches.
Good Christ.
Brand supremacy. And then 3, and then actually 3 title matches. Brand, who wants to be on Fox? That's what it really should be called.
Yep.
Who doesn't want to be on
the 8 o'clock? Money in the land.
And the land. Who doesn't want to be on at 10 o'clock on Monday nights on USA when 14 people are watching? Yeah. Oh, God. Brand supremacy. I want a t-shirt that just says brand supremacy. Brand supremacy. All right. Okay. We'll start with the three title matches first, because they're less important than anything involving brand supremacy. Belts. Who wants belts? What do you want more, a championship or brand supremacy? All right, let's start off with the NXT Championship. Adam Cole will defend against the winner of Saturday night's Triple Threat. All three of us think, or all four of us, I'm sorry, think that Pete Dunne wins. Regardless, Logan, regardless of who wins, Adam Cole retains.
Yeah, absolutely. He has a lot more to do with the championship, so he'll definitely retain.
Okay. Suze?
Yeah, Cole's not losing until Ciampa beats him at some point.
Right. Yeah. But Green 8?
Yeah, no question. Like, why would you give him a win over Daniel Bryan if you're just going to have him lose a week later, 2 weeks later?
Right. No, I agree. Yeah, I still think it'll be a good match regardless who he wrestles, but if it's Pete Dunne, we'll be in for a lot of fun.
If it's Pete Dunne, it could steal the show, honestly.
Could steal the show. Yes, it could. I agree 100% it could steal the show. All right, the Universal Championship is on the line. The blue belt, no longer the red belt. The aforementioned Daniel Bryan taking on the Fiend, Bray Wyatt. Going back, hearkening back to early 2014. Former family members. What do you think about this decision to put Bryan in this match, Suze? And I don't see the Fiend losing, right?
No, I don't see Wyatt losing this soon. But I think it's a good opponent for Wyatt. Because, I mean, Bryan can work a great match with me, for Christ's sake. So.
You stub your face.
But I think he'll Bryan will be able to get a good match out of Wyatt, but Wyatt retains, I think, pretty easily.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Brother Nate?
Yeah, Bray retained. It's too soon to take the belt off of him. Honestly, I think it was too soon to put the belt on him in the first place, but since we're here, since we're now living in this moment, taking it off of him, even for somebody as good as Daniel Bryan, would be counterintuitive to the story they're trying to tell. So, yeah, I think it's going to be a really strong match, probably one of Bray's best matches, certainly one of his best matches at The Fiend, even though that's a low bar. I think Bray retains.
Logan, same?
Yeah, Bray will retain. Hopefully it's as good as their match from the Royal Rumble a few years ago, because then it'll be amazing. Oh, yeah. So,
yes, that is true, and I think it will be as well.
A question I have, because Bray Wyatt is on SmackDown now, are they going to switch the red lighting to blue lighting?
That would be cool. That would be very cool, actually. I think it'd be a little mind-numbing, but that would be kind of cool.
Can't
actually
be any worse than the red light, right?
True. I wonder why they've never done an April Fool's or April Fool's Week joke where Raw was blue and SmackDown was red. That would be pretty cool. Hey, it gives them a chance to sell more T-shirts, right? It's like buying a Yankee. It's like buying a Yankee hat that's red. That really pissed all the Yankee fans off. Dr. GB, like, fuck that shit. All right, and finally, a no holds barred match for the WWE Championship. Your champion, Brock Lesnar, taking on Rey Mysterio. How does this not end, Brother Nate, with some type of King Kong Bundy Little Beaver situation? Shit puddle.
Again, this is another champion that I'm not overly enthused with. But there's no way Brock can drop the title. Not now. Brock will be our champion then, now, and forever, as the old saying goes.
As the signature fight says.
So yeah, I don't think that he'll drop it. I do hope though that we at least get a good match and they give Rey more than they gave for Kofi.
That is true. That is
hell,
true.
I hope they give Ray more than they gave your boy Velasquez, because he didn't get anything at Crown Jewel.
No. How long was that match, by the way? I don't know.
Like, it was like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, it was like 2 minutes or something ridiculous.
Let's take a look. Crown Jewel.
What an absolute
that
nice
match. Yeah, that match was 2:10. That's terrible.
Yeah, that was extreme.
Complete
like,
waste.
Yeah, like all the politics aside, like that was extremely disappointing and turned me off of the show. Just because it's like, yeah, if you're gonna go through the trouble of beating Kofi, if you're gonna go through the trouble of trying to tell this story about Velasquez, at least make it a match. Like there was speculation like, oh, this could be like a big headlining match. You could save this for WrestleMania, and then this is what we got. It's like, Brock, you flew this dude all the way over to Saudi Arabia just so you could get your win back. That's some Hulk Hogan level. That's Hogan level pettiness, sir.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
There's a reason why they threw it on the Saudi Arabia show if that was the match they were gonna have.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You're exactly right on that. Nobody's going to watch it at 3 o'clock on a Friday fucking afternoon. Or no, Thursday afternoon. It was Halloween. Yeah.
Garbage. Yeah.
Any chance, Logan, for little Ray?
Ray? I'd give anything if Ray could win, but no. I think he's going to go the way of Kane and Kofi.
And Kofi.
It'll be a quick mauling, and then Rock will walk away with the championship once again.
Yeah, Nate wants King Kong Bundy, SD Jones's quickness. That way, Kofi's not the one with the shortest match.
Yes.
please, 4 seconds, please. All right. So there's your three title matches that obviously no one cares about because it's all about brand supremacy.
C.
All right. So we have three triple threats, two of them with singles wrestlers and one with tags. So it's pretty much all the belt all the champions of their respective divisions. We'll start with the mid-card brand supremacy match, which I think may steal the show. U.S. champion AJ Styles, Intercontinental champion Shinsuke Nakamura, and North American champion Roddy Strong. Brother Nate, this could easily Cole and Dunn could steal the show. This one could very easily steal the show.
Yeah, on paper, this is a very good match, and I know the AJ Knock matches so far in the WWE have been a little underwhelming. Like, they haven't been bad by any stretch. They just haven't been what most of us, I think, expected, the level of proficiency we would get between those two guys. But I think throwing in Roddy to this match, I think it adds another element, adds another wrinkle. And so this probably will be the best AJ Knock match that we've seen, because they have somebody who may not be as good as AJ, but he can certainly get in there and mix it up with two high quality dudes like AJ and Knock. So yeah, I think it's going to be a fun match. It's going to be interesting though, because technically all three of these dudes are heels. And
correct.
So it'll be funny to see kind of who the crowd latches onto. I think it'll probably end up being AJ, and I think AJ is probably going to end up winning the match.
Okay, so you like AJ. Logan?
I will go with AJ as well, and yeah, I think this could be another show stealer, possibly, you know, the NXT Championship match will obviously probably steal the show, but this one could also be a great, great match for sure.
Suze?
Yeah, this really has potential to be great. I'm going to pick AJ too. I think he picks pins Knock. And before looking at this card, I completely forgot that Shinsuke was Intercontinental Champion. So
I know, right? I think Knock's going to win. I think Knock's going to win. That's my upset pick. I think Knock's going to win. And I think he pins Roddy. Because Vince may say it. The only Roddy I know is that Piper asshole. Remember when he fucked me on that HBO show?
You're going to pin that NXT prick.
Yeah.
fuck him and his stupid first name. Remember that time I brought his fat ass back with Rikishi? So, and he did the whole coconut thing. Ha! That was funny. Anyway, I like knocking that match, but I think that match could steal the show. The other singles triple threat match for brand supremacy is women versus woman versus woman. We have Becky Lynch versus Bayley Streisand versus Shayna Baszler. People who need people. This match will be a lot of fun. I like seeing Becky back in NXT. That was cool earlier in the week. I could see Shayna pinning Bayley.
Mm.
I'll start with you, Suze. What do you think?
I think Shayna is going to choke out Bayley, and I don't think this is going to last very long. I could see it under 10 minutes or so. I think this is going to be pretty short. Just because of Shayna being in it, basically.
Right. But that's true. Yep. Mud Pie, what do you think?
Yeah, like we talked about earlier, I think Shayna's team takes the fall in War Games, and I believe that she will win this match by choking out Bayley, like Sue said.
Yeah, no, it seems to be prevailing opinion, Brother Nate.
Yeah, and I will make it 3-for-3 so far because I think, you know, while Logan and I had a disagreement about the NXT Women's War Games match, we are in one accord on this one. I think Shayna gets the win Saturday night, and then she gets the win Sunday night. So coming out of this weekend, she is certainly going to be somebody on the radar of the casual WWE universe. And so, yeah, I think Shayna submits Bayley Streisand, and at the end of the match, instead of crying this time, Bayley's just gonna look up and look for a friend and say, Sasha, can you hear me?
Sasha, do you remember the way we were?
I think actually Shayna pulls this off too, because I mean they're obviously very high on her, and I would not be surprised if Shayna just keeps going on a roll until a certain TV firefighter makes her return. Should be very interesting. She's been very good on that show, by the way. Does anybody watch 9-1-1? I watch it every week. I think the show's awesome, and she's actually been really good on it. Yeah, she's been really good on it. I have to say, I thought she would suck, but I got to say Rhonda's not. Yeah. I mean, she's not. You know. She's not Barbara Streisand awesome, but she's pretty good. She's pretty good. I highly recommend it. And it's on Fox. Crossover. she could be on the other show now, which you know is going to happen anyway. And the brand supremacy triple threat tag match involving the three pairs of tag team champions. You have the Viking Raiders for Raw, the New Day for SmackDown, and the Undisputed Era for NXT. Big E and Kofi. This match is puzzling for me because you're going to think I'm crazy, but could this be a chance for Big E to turn and join NXT here and leave Kofi in the dust? I don't know what it is, Nate. It's just like every NXT conspiracy theory is swirling in my head right now.
No, I think the audience would hate that. And not in a good way where we're booing Big E because he's a heel, but I don't think the audience wants to see these two split up like that.
You're probably right. I think that's why they've never split up. I'm torn in this match, though, because any of these teams can win.
Yeah.
Now, going by what we've done so far, I'm going to go for the Viking Raiders in this one. Mm. Because that way each brand gets one supremacy win. And I have Nock winning in one match, Shayna winning in one match. So I like the Viking Raiders to win the tag. What do you think, Suze?
Yeah, I like the Viking Raiders in this one to take one third of the supremacy.
Yes, the Supreme. who has the AC, like AC Green. What do you think, Logan?
Yeah, I've been going through this one all week. At first, I was going Viking Raiders, but I have a feeling that the Viking Raiders are going to, you know, like, take out Kofi or Big E at some point towards the end, and the Undisputed Era is going to sneak in and get the victory. So I'm going to go Fishing O'Reilly.
Mm. Wow. And what was your pick, Nate?
I'm going with Fishing O'Reilly as well, because I think, yes, you've got all these brand supremacy matches, but not all brand supremacy matches are created equal. And so I think, obviously, Shane is the pick for the women's triple threat. I think that AJ is going to win the matchup between him knocking strong. I think in this one, this is one you can easily give to NXT, because neither the Viking Raiders nor the New Day are so hot right now that they need to be protected. So I think that, yeah, Logan's probably spot on. The Viking Raiders and the New Day end up taking each other out, and then the Undisputed Era beat the Viking Raiders. So it appears that NXT has the upper hand until we get to our next brand supremacy match.
Supremacy. Okay, so there we go. Obviously, none of these, just to let everyone know, none of these belts are on the line. Like, no one wins somebody's belt. It's just the three pairs of or the three trios of champions. But no belts are switching hands in any of these matches. All right. And that brings us to the two main events.
Who'd you go with in that one?
Oh, me? I said Viking Raiders.
Okay.
Because I have one of each so far. I have Knock winning the triple threat, so that's one for SmackDown. I have Shayna winning the women's one, so that's NXT, and I have Viking Raiders winning the tags, so that's Raw. So I think of those three, each brand will get one win. Which takes us to our two triple threats. We'll start with the women. Team Raw, which is Charlotte, Natalia, Asuka, Kairi Sane, so the Kabuki Warriors, and Sarah Logan, taking on Team SmackDown, which is Sasha, Carmella, Dana Brooke, Lacey Evans, and Nikki Cross, and then Team NXT, which we do not have yet. But, I mean, it's pretty much going to be the same. It's going to be a mix. I'm assuming if they're going to try and fill that team, it's going to be kind of a mishmash of the two teams the night before. It's not like NXT has an unlimited supply of women. So, I don't know. How do you think that's going to go, Nate? I'm a little confused at the moment as to what they can build out of this. Without Shayna...
Yeah.
Do we have any... Will even the heels get booed? Maybe that's why it's good not to have Shayna in this match.
Mm.
You know? What do you think?
Well, Scott Criscolo, if you were listening to what I said earlier, there's only one person who could possibly lead this NXT faction, and that, of course, is the wonderful, magnanimous Candice LeRae.
I'd rather listen to you than the real Stephen A. Just want to let you know.
It's going to be weird because I do think we'll get this mishmash, which, again, is a reason why they should have either done the War Games deal earlier. Because it doesn't make sense that we have the women's war game and then we come right back to this the next night. So I think you do get like this mix match of talent on the NXT team. But I think this is where I'm going to give Raw their first win of the night. Because I think out of all of these lineups, yeah, Sasha's a big deal and she's got a hot new theme song. But to me, this match is going to be a showcase for Charlotte Flair. As most Charlotte Flair matches are, so I'm going to give it to Raw.
Okay, so Team Charlotte is the pick for Nate. Suze, what do you think?
Man, this match and the next match we're going to talk about, such a convoluted mess. But
it is. That's why that goes back to my question. I'm glad you said that, because that goes back to my original question. What are we gaining from all of this?
Yeah, five on five, what are we doing? But
I know, really. What is this dance?
I like Team Raw too. I like Charlotte and Sasha as the final two in the match. Final two, final three. I don't know, but I like Charlotte to beat Sasha to win the match for Raw.
Okay. Logan, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Raw, too. I think Charlotte and the Kabuki Warriors are just going to mow through everybody and come out on top.
That's kind of cool. I like that team, by the way, actually. I think I'm going to go with Raw, too, although I like the SmackDown team, although it's kind of mishmash. You have a mix of faces and heels and Lacey Evans and Dana Brooke, who I like both of them. Yeah, I'm going to go with Raw as well. I'm going to go with Team Charlotte as well. And finally, and I don't even know what the main event of this show is going to be. We'll ask that in a minute, what we think is going to go last. But we have the 5-on-5 men's triple threat elimination match. Team Raw, which is Seth Rollins, Drew McIntyre, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton, and Ricochet. Team SmackDown, which is Roman Reigns, Mustafa Ali, Braun Strowman, King Corbin, and Shorty G. That is fucking terrible. Shorty G.
Because he wears basketball shorts now. He's Shorty G.
Shorty G. Because that's... I never thought I'd say that I miss American Alpha. And then Team NXT, which we have no idea. I kind of dig the whole premise that we've had that the baby faces that win the night before all come out, mostly because even though he's not in the match, Ciampa started with Miz, that I could see him in this match. If you had to pick five guys, we'll start with you, Nate, five guys to fill this NXT roster, who would it be?
I think I'm going mix between your faces and your heels, kind of an all-star lineup. Obviously, I'm going with Riddle. I think I'm going to go with give me Riddle, give me Lee, give me Dream. And we talked about Dream earlier. I think if Dream can go, I would actually hold him off for this match. As like the kind of the secret sauce for the NXT team, where you've got like two faces, two heels, and then Dream is the guy in the middle. That's the glue guy, as you would put him, Scotty. I'm going Riddle, Lee, Dream, and who would be my two heels? That's a good question. You come back to me on this.
I'll come back to you on that. Suze, put this team together for me.
So I would have Ciampa leading the team. Then I'd have Keith Lee, Dream, Riddle. And then as an interesting one, I'd have Finn Balor round that team out. I think that would be pretty interesting.
That would be kind of cool. I agree. Logan, what do you think? Put the team together for me.
I think it'll be the Ciampa team from the night before, which I said Dream would be part of the four-man team. I think it's them and add Riddle to that. So it's going to be Lee, Dijakovic, Ciampa, Dream, and who am I forgetting? Can't think of it.
You said Dijakovic, Keith Lee, Ciampa.
Lee, Ciampa, Riddle, Dijakovic, and Dream. That's who it is.
And Dream, yep. Okay. All right, Nate. Two more spots. Big E and
Adam Rose. I forgot all about Balor. So I'm going to go Balor because I do think like Balor would be great in this spot. And I'm going to go with let's go with your man Kevin Owens here.
Interesting. Well, he can't. He's on Raw. Oh, you think he's going to switch teams? Could you imagine?
Yes. What was the was it the Survivor Series during Invasion when they pulled that was it Kurt Angle or Stone Cold that was supposed to be on Team WCW and then he's flip-flopped?
It was Kurt.
I think they're going to pull a Kurt Angle from the Invasion, and Owens is going to switch sides.
Wow.
Because that would actually have stakes in this match. Like, it would actually mean something.
Oh, that's crazy. I like the cut of that jive. I'm digging that.
Like, I think Team Raw might be on the verge of victory, and the last two for Raw are like Owens and Rollins, and then Rollins gets hits with a stunner, and Balor pins Seth, and Team NXT wins this.
I like that. I find that moderately believable. What do you think, guys? Yeah? You think that could happen?
I think it could happen, but you know, I think it's a slim chance. But I don't think they're that clever to do something like that, to be perfectly honest.
That is true.
Yeah, it definitely could happen.
I would have had faith about 7 years ago.
Yeah. Because that to me, like, the if all we get is Raw winning this, or SmackDown winning this, or NXT winning this without a surprise, then it's like, yeah, what were we here for? What, you know, brand supremacy and this basically they're playing WWE 2K20 without all the glitches, just in real life. Like, they're just making the roster and playing these matches, but ultimately it doesn't mean anything.
Oh, there's plenty of glitches in the real life WWE too, trust me.
Yes, there's 11 Big E's. Referees are tangled up in everybody else's legs. I definitely think we need some kind of. What's that, Logan?
You can't even do an 8-man match on 2K20. Just putting 15 in there would just be, you know, an absolute tragedy.
That's true. I think things would melt.
Oh my TV God. Would explode.
That is true. All right, so we all think NXT is going to win, but Nate with the wild card here, that Kevin Owens flips sides, rips off the Raw shirt to reveal. I think he should wear his original KO shirt with the duct tape letters. That's when I have that shirt. I bought the first.
Because here's the other thing with that, Scotty. We've talked about it before here on Main Event. One of the main reasons for NXT existing on USA is to siphon viewers from AEW. And if you put Kevin Owens coming off of his pay-per-view as a part of NXT for, you know, the next month or so, like Kevin Owens on NXT for the next month or so would be something that could draw eyeballs away from NXT, AEW.
That is true.
And I don't think NXT is winning.
Who do you like?
I think SmackDown's winning because Fox.
Because you're a Shorty G Mark.
You're a Shorty G Mark.
He's gonna sit on Reign's shoulders at the end, like Ollie in Hoosiers. That's interesting. Interesting. Good. Good behind outside the box thinking there, Nate. I like that. It sounds too cool to happen. I agree with Suze.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you never know. You never know. Any major surprises? Anything that totally comes out of left field on this night, Sunday? We'll start with you, Logan.
I feel like there's got to be nothing necessarily coming to mind, but I think there might be some kind of surprise member of the NXT team, the men's team, but I couldn't tell you who it was going to be.
So some surprise on one of the men's teams. All right, what do you think, Suze?
So I think CM Punk is going to stay home. But
he's going to be in the special edition pay-per-view backstage.
Yeah. I don't see any real major surprises. This just feels like a show, which is a shame for Survivor Series.
I got an over-under, but we'll get to it in a minute. Nate? Anything that comes out of the blue besides, I mean, you pretty much called it with you picked one with Kevin switching teams, but anything else you think could come out of left field?
Yeah, outside of my Owens prediction, the only thing in terms of a surprise would be if we don't see Dream Saturday, but we see Dream Sunday.
That's entirely possible.
Cause he hasn't, hadn't been a part of the invasion stuff because he's been hurt. So that would be like the first real, other than what was it, the Rumble where he came out? Other than that, this would be like his first exposure to the WWE fan base at large.
Right. All right, I'm going to ask the same question
maybe,
I asked.
Maybe Dream will have CM Punk airbrushed on his tights.
Speaking of, thank you for the segue, Brother Nate. What is the over-under on a certain Phillip Brooks showing up, not during the show, but on either of the Saturday or Sunday pre-shows? I could see him sitting with Charlie and Booker instead of that dope Sam Roberts and his stupid hair, or Rosenberg. What do you think? Anybody? I could see Punk on the pre-show Sunday.
It goes back to what I said before. I just don't think they put him on anything unless they announce it well in advance.
Even the pre-show, huh? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's in a building that WWE is running unless they announce it like at least a week beforehand to build that buzz and all that stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, never say never, but I think the only chance we get that and the only day we'd get that would be Sunday. Like, if they feel they don't have enough buzz coming out of Saturday night, maybe they call an audible and back a dump truck of money up to Punk's house and he shows up for the pre-show on Sunday. But other than that, I don't see him showing up on either night.
Okay. It's possible, but, I mean, again, I agree with Suze. That's something you plaster everywhere for a couple weeks in advance.
Yeah, plus I think I think you're setting yourself up for the fans to be pissed when he doesn't get involved later in the night if you put him out there on the pre-show.
Right.
I think you are exactly right, Logan. You are exactly right.
And especially with a crowd like Chicago, they're already going to be probably annoying about the CM Punk chants anyway, so, you know. You don't want to make it worse.
Good point. All right, guys. That was a lot of fun. A great weekend in Chicago. And again, join us Saturday night for a main event special presentation, the TakeOver War Games reaction show. And then Sunday night, Brother Nate, I cross lines. I do a freelance deal, kind of like Fritz and Bill Watts crossing Mid-South and WCCW. Because I will be joining you, sir.
Yes.
Tell us what we'll be doing.
Yes, we got the chain reaction coming up. The quarterly reaction show, because all we do are the big four of the WWE, because we don't have time for anything else. Like, there's too much going on in the world of wrestling. So, yes, it will be myself, Scott Criscola. It'll be Brent Chittenden, perhaps Chris from LA, and the invitation has been extended to one Jennifer Smith, but you know, we'll see. Jenny hasn't RSVP'd yet.
She's had a long ass week. She's been on the air more than CM Punk has.
She's the new commentator for the NWA.
Oh, she would eat that shit up. Oh my god, sit next to Eli Drake, and she'd make what's her name talk. The hell's her name? Not Clarice.
Katrina?
No, it is Clarice, right? No, it's Charisse? No.
I don't know.
The fuck is her name?
Is it Katrina? Shit. No, maybe.
No, it's possibly. Not Katrina.
Okay.
Shit. Now I'm blanking. Anyway, I'll look it up. Sorry? Damn it. Ah, fuck. What the hell was her name? Damn it. She's managed by, oh, fuck. I'm checking under Nick Aldis's page here. Later feuds. Return of... she's Cage of Death, Cole Cabana, Billy Corgan, Aldis Crusade, especially with Jake Hager at WrestleCade Super Show. I forgot I keep forgetting he's married to Mickey James.
Yeah.
I can't find what her name is. Anyway. I'm pretty sure it's Clarice, but anyway. Speaking of, there might be a reaction show involving that pay-per-view too. Stay tuned for that down the line. All right, Suze, where can everyone find you, man? Thanks for coming on. You have finally entered this realm, Studio B. And it's great to have you. Thank you for coming on tonight. Where can everyone find you?
Can check out the weekend playlist. Every goes up every Friday on placetobenation.com, of course. Music videos for your weekend listening. We throw up a the Apple playlist, and we throw up a Spotify playlist too. So check that out every weekend. And starting next week, we'll be kicking off our holiday music. So be on the lookout for
excellent.
That. And if you're so inclined, you can follow me on Twitter at MSouza1991.
There you go. All right. And, of course, you can join him with myself, Jennifer, and Drew Wardlaw on Jenny and the Gems. Listen to the Great American Bash Greensboro show, and then we'll have another one at some point in December. We just got to – Jenny's just got to pick something that does it that has announcers. We dropped the hammer on that. Suze, thank you. Always a pleasure. Mud Pie,
sure.
Thanks for coming back, man. Always a pleasure. Again, you can check Logan and myself every Wednesday afternoon on placebnation.com to give us to give you our campus hot takes. Where else can anybody find you?
You can follow me on Twitter, Instagram at Rhino8293. And Nick Aldis's manager's name is Camilla, by the way.
Camilla, that's it. I knew it began with a C.
I had to look it up. I'm sorry. I'm one of the I'm like,
oh, thank you.
I have to find it out.
I have to, yeah. Hello, Clarice. Hello. Hello. Anyway, Logan's awesome. And he may be, you and I may talk again, along with our good friend Ben Zanny, because I think we're going to do a bowl preview show. I think we'll eschew the written part and do a nice pod. So stay tuned for that in mid-December. We may do once the playoffs are announced and once we have the full-blown bowl schedule, maybe you, me, and Ben will do a nice podcast to preview the bowl season. So thank you, Logan. It's good to have you.
Looking forward to it, and thanks for having me on, man.
Absolutely, absolutely. Brother Nate, we know where to find you. Jesus, we don't have to keep reading all that again. you know it's always a pleasure. You know it's always a pleasure, brother. And check him out on Twitter. And, of course, check out the Kings of Sport Patreon. And definitely listen to the Talk and Pop on the Jenny position, because it was really a lot of fun. It was a fun listen. It really was. I learned a lot of things about you I didn't know before. And that includes your sleep patterns, because I never thought I'd need to know that. But anyway.
If we are ever at a WrestleMania together, you know that we'll have to get separate rooms, because I'll be up until 4 in the morning.
Yeah, exactly. You're not going to be falling asleep on anybody's shoulder like Pete. So that's okay. That's okay. Again, check out Nate's Kings of Sport Patreon page. It's awesome. Those guys do so much. You and Papa Marcus. Give Papa Marcus our best here in the main event. I told you, one day, Brother Nate, he's crossing the line. He's taking off the Kings of Sport shirt, and he's going to be main event, brother, through and through. So we'd love to have Marcus on.
So he's going to pull a Kevin Owens from Sunday night?
Yes, right in the middle. that would be funny. I can't take it anymore. This kid keeps crying. No. You give Marcus our best. We're always thinking about you guys. We'll be back in 2 weeks, Brother Nate, with our next episode, 139. We will, I don't know what we'll preview. Yeah, we'll talk about something. Of course, I eschewed the New Japan Classic match picks because I wanted to get enough time for the two shows this weekend. But I still have the shoe, and I'll come up with something really fun. Hopefully, Steve Willey's back if everything's plugged in, you know, in the great – UConn Cornelius has fixed his internet. I think we're in pretty good shape. And that, by the way, will be our final – episode 139 will be our final – episode of 2019. We're going to take the rest of the month off so we can all enjoy Christmas and Star Wars and all sorts of fun. And we will be back for the first episode of 2020, episode 140, where guess who's going to be back, Brother Nate, with you, me, and Steve? Our good friend Brandon Howard will come back, and we will talk about the year in wrestling 2019, fiscally, creatively, and otherwise. So stay tuned for that in a month. But we do have an episode in 2 weeks, so stay tuned for that. For Brother Nate, for Logan, for the Sues, I am Scott. You have been in the main event. Have a good weekend in Chi-Town. Say hi to the Willies, and we'll talk to you in 2 weeks.
Hey, Scott Criscola.
See you in Punk.
Hey, don't interrupt Nate. Yes, Brother Nate. I never get to do this.
I didn't want to... break this news on the show, but since we're off the air, I think I can tell you. Did you know that Van Halen has written a brand new power ballad to honor one of NXT's biggest and best stars?
Really? I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
I think they're going to release it at TakeOver this weekend. It's a new song. It's called Why Candace Be Loved.